top five on the Rokan Show. Five. Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay, okay. Checking in at...
number five.
Demonstrators supporting the Fraternal Order of Police. They crowded together, holding signs, wearing buttons. They were downtown today outside City Hall and calling for Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox to step down for president of the FOP, Kevin Graham. He says that people that commit offenses, well, they should be held accountable.
No matter who you are, no matter who you are in this city and in this county, that people are treated fairly and respectfully. We certainly want to make sure that justice is served in all cases.
That's like the Starbelly Sneetches story. You know, the Dr. Seuss, where you're not sure who's on what side. We should have played a game right there. It's like, who's saying this? And you'd be like, is that the Black Lives Matter people? No, is that the FOP?
It was a confusing sort of confluence of protesters.
We just want fairness. We want equality and justice for all. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's, I think, what everybody wants.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal, yeah.
Right?
That's what we're all pushing for.
And I can understand, I guess, why you would have the FOP, an anti-protest, if the idea was that there are other people saying, we've been asking for this for years.
Right, right. Well, the FOP president, for his part, he was on the show with us earlier, Kevin Graham, and he said that, you know, he wants a top-to-bottom review of what happened here, that there should be more transparency. They're obviously not happy with Kim Fox, but they are calling for her resignation. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but we do hear that there may be some sort of review, and you hear a growing number of people asking for that, given the circumstances.
Politically in this town, the only thing you have to remember, everybody wants a piece of this. Everybody has already signed has allegiances and allies. Rahm Emanuel, the FOP in this case, they're not Kim Fox fans. They haven't been. Kim Fox was brought in. She won on a mandate from Cook County voters because of Laquan McDonald's possible cover-up. There, you know, she came in as a reformer, so you can understand, right, why the police and the FOP don't like Kim Fox beyond Jussie Smollett.
Yeah, no, it's true. There has been a contentious relationship from the start.
From the start, she ran on that platform.
Right. She ran on the platform that she was going to try to look at nonviolent crimes and treat them in a different way, and she felt she had a mandate given the fact that she was elected.
Not to mention keeping police officers accountable and to take on police misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing that came out of Anita Alvarez when she was state's attorney.
Well, that
so you can
us
understand why the FOP does not like
her. She just brings us to our next point here, where activist Jamal Green is saying that it's Kim Fox here who is being treated unfairly.
85% of murderers in the city of Chicago are roaming free, and they're not talking about what the detective division and the police department should be doing. Rather, Kim Fox not prosecuting a low-level felony. This is not just an attack on Kim Fox. This is an attack on black elected officials throughout this state.
That's a stretch, but
that's definitely a stretch. I mean, look, Roe's been calling for Kim Fox to resign. I think
yes.
A lot of people feel that same way. This was handled horribly. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those situations where he can say, oh, well, you should be looking at the police department. People are. You can also look into the Cook County State's attorney as well at the same time. You know, it's not an either-or situation.
Right. And you know, the situation is more than just Jussie. I don't think anyone thought he was going to get lengthy prison time for this. I think a lot of people might have thought that an apology, an admission of guilt, as we've seen in many cases like this where there's been a false report of a crime. If you go back over the years and look at what has typically happened to people in this situation, that has happened. Mm-hmm. There's been a community service component and a fine. But there isn't this sort of emergency hearing with this record speed of everything happening. Boom, 2 weeks after it's out of court, and there's an erasing of the record. There's a sealing of the record. There are records now that don't even exist in the Cook County database about his case because of how quickly it was swept aside. And I think if you want us to restore the faith or keep the faith in the Justice Department that Kim Fox heads up, you want to have transparency in that process. And I think that's what this becomes part of. Show us the transparency. She said in her op-ed piece in the Tribune today, my office believed that securing a conviction was not certain in this case. Okay, but you told the Sun-Times a few days before that it was a strong case and you felt you had it and this wasn't an exoneration. So it feels as if we're
right.
Getting a lot of conflicting information.
And then Smollett comes out and acts like the victim. I think that's what's driving so many people crazy is that he comes out saying this vindicates me, and it's like, no, it doesn't at all.
Well, back to Jamal Green. What Jamal Green says about that this is an attack on African-American politicians or African-American leaders. For a sec, just to honor what he's saying, there is a thought, and this goes back to my point I just made about the politics of the situation, that the Tony Preckwinkle, who is the Cook County Board, this is Kim Fox, was her former chief of staff, and she came in and beat the machine candidate. My question to the FOP and to Kevin Graham is, if there was an FOP-backed candidate who was the state's attorney, and they made this choice, and would they be out in the streets with signs saying, we want that person to resign? And that's my only point. I think there is outrage here, and I think there's important to ask, but I think that the tools, the things that people are doing in response to this are political. And to go and ask for her resignation at city council and have a FOP signs, that's just about politics. That's what Jamal Green's talking about. Take away the race component and consider it to be just identity genre politics in Chicago. Yes, a primarily white vote wants the state's attorney's office back. That's what they want. And so Kim Fox is against that. So the only problem I have is I think it's theatrics at the end of the day.
Isn't it always on both sides?
Yeah,
whether it's Black Lives Matter or the FOP or whoever else is protesting.
Yeah,
isn't it always?
Most of the time, it's protests coming for people out of power. So the FOP is in power. Their police department is in power. So the idea that they're going after a state's attorney for letting a celebrity go on a hate crime or a hoaxed hate crime, seems to be a little, a lot of theatrics over something that really doesn't have anything
to do
with
it. After all the work and time they put into it, to have them just completely dismiss the work of police department,
again,
why wouldn't they be upset?
I will say this, and I've said this before on this radio station. You were talking about a lie that went into a lie that went into a lie that went into a lie. The outrage is going to have to be backtracked when the next piece of evidence comes out. So all I'm
saying, what is the FOP supposed to do? Sit back and say, you know what? It's just a bunch of lies.
The FOP should probably go and say, hey, we have an issue, and they've done that. We said, listen, we want to see the sealed documents. We want to know why you dropped this case. The idea of taking police officers and going down to protest in front of the office, that's politics. That's just, let's get her out so we can get our guy in.
Let's hear from Michael Flager, shall we? He was out at that protest also. He was at the competing protest that was organized by Flager and the Reverend Jesse Jackson. And he says that this, to your point, Justin Kaufman, is a political attack, nothing more.
The attack on Kim Fox is not about Jesse Smollett. Let's get it straight. That's a front.
Yeah.
Rather, it's about trying to remove a person who is a threat to the old boys' system of power in this city and in this state.
Old boys' system of power, which was basically mirrored by what happened here.
Well, let me also say that, you know, there is, the FOP has a vested interest in the municipal election, which is up tomorrow. Their candidate, preferred candidate, is Lori Lightfoot. It's not a stretch to say that this is bad headlines for the Cook County Board president, whose former chief of staff is a state's attorney. So there's a lot of politics trying to grab headlines the day before a municipal election. Why not do this on Wednesday so you're not in the election, the jet stream, not to get back to
Buckle
the jet. Yeah, right. But my point is, I think I understand where Flager's coming. I'm not saying he's accurate, that he's right.
I would agree.
But the idea that there's politics to this, yeah, this seems to be a lot about the politics of outrage.
Right.
And I feel like all of us in the outrage that you're talking about, and I know that I can sense and I can feel, they're using that. They're not. I can feel it in the room.
Like I'm in therapy all of a sudden.
I would agree with him that it's not. It's not
about another hug.
Don't get sucked in by the politics of this.
I would agree that it's not all about just Jussie. I think it is though about faith in our systems, and I think that she represents that office, and we need to have faith that what was done for a reason. And I think on its face right now, to any citizen, take the FOP out of it, to any citizen looking at the facts of this case, it doesn't seem to add up. And I think that's where we do need answers.
Okay, so I'll throw one out for you. What happens? Is the FOP front and center when Ed Burke beats his case? When Alderman Ed Burke beats his corruption case and then it gets thrown out by the state's attorney?
It is politics.
But what I'm saying is, the FOP going to be up there saying, what about equality and justice for all? That's just the question that I think is being asked by some of the protesters.
It's a little bit different with Ed Burke.
All right.
So here we go.
Let's move on, shall we? Checking in at
number four.
It's been more than a year since Jay Cutler played in the NFL.
Cutler,
and although he made millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars in the league, probably more than he's worth, he realized he can't keep spending his retirement just puttering around his Nashville area farm. I mean, that's not enough to keep a guy busy. So that was the compelling subject matter on last night's episode of Very Cavallari.
Hey, Just in time.
I need a hand.
Nah, I'm good. Hi, Bill.
What do you mean?
Well, you're just picking up all the sticks?
Yeah.
Why?
Whenever it starts getting warm out and the grass starts growing, I'm gonna have to cut the grass.
So you're just gonna pick up sticks all day?
Well, someone has to.
Well, I guess.
Listen, you have no idea how much stuff I do around here on a daily basis.
I think I have a good idea.
Like, you monitor things? I don't understand.
I can tell anytime one little thing has been moved or touched or...
I feel like Rain Man around here.
What do you do with that? I mean, a reminder, he is from Santa Claus, Indiana, and she's originally from Barrington. Yeah. I mean, I know she went to L.A. and got her affected accent and everything, but, I mean, what is going on here? People are watching this show, though, and they seem to love Jay.
I love Jay Cutler.
Just walking around doing nothing.
I love Jay Cutler on E! I don't like him on the football field.
It's something to see Cuddy on the E! Network. Because like, we've talked about this before, where there's a whole demo that didn't even realize that channel existed, and now they're tuning in on Sunday nights to see Jay Cutler be
a fake.
Do you
have friends who are checking in to
see? Yeah, I mean, people tweet about her, send you messages, like, you see what he said today? You know, it's just Cuddy being like a fake farmer hipster situation.
I wish we had that as a quarterback.
Impressive. If you can get people to tune in to watch him and get through the screeching voices of some of the females on that show.
It's the secondary. That's my problem with that show, because Mary on the morning show, she loved on Cochran, she loved Very Cavallari, and she would talk about it. And I was always like, I tried to watch it, but the secondary lines, like the storylines that don't involve Jay Cutler, I'm lost.
I normally watch the highlight reel of Cutler, like the morning after, because people just edit together the Cutler scenes.
Yeah, that's well,
there you go. And all the women on the show have that weird uptick at the end. Where are you going?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the store. That's how they talk.
I just don't... dating life is... I don't know. I'm just so exasperated all the time.
Part of the appeal of the show, we have a bonus cut, actually, so let's see if we hear a little bit of that accent in there.
Isn't it crazy that it's been a year since your last football game?
It's going really fast.
I know. Are you sad at all?
You know, I enjoyed, like, being with the kids, hanging out with you. Like, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like I need to start trying to figure something out. Just can't keep picking sticks up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna probably still pick sticks up, but I can pick the sticks up and then go do something.
Well, it's kind of nice for me to hear that you're ready to do something.
You don't like me at home all the time? Like, whenever you come home, I'm here. Whenever you leave, I'm here.
You're just always here.
That's not your ideal situation?
I just think it gets to a point where, at some point, I would get old.
Whoa.
It could happen tomorrow. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not gonna hold my breath, but...
Is this supposed to be motivational?
I think I'm just a realist.
Yeah. Why did you marry him? Do you sense a little bit of something going on there between the Cavallaris or the Cutlers?
I think they figured out that people are watching for Jay Cutler and whether or not he's going to talk about football, so they set that piece up. Her first question is like, so do you miss football? What kind of question is that?
People want more of Jay.
They want more of Jay.
And the E! Network's going to give it to us.
She's got a new dating show out, too, because last episode of Very Cavallari, he was playing a dating coach to one of her friends. And trying to hook her up with someone suitable.
I want a Jay Cutler dating show.
Wouldn't you love that?
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Where he's just sort of not really interested. Is that his appeal, that he just is not interested in anything? He just sort of chills?
That's the vibe I get. He just doesn't care about life as a whole.
I love it.
Good for Cuddy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He'd be a great backup quarterback to come back and come out of retirement for, like, the Rams. Like an L.A. team with an L.A. fan base. Where they're like, our celebrity, real, you know, our real, what do you call it? What do you call that? Reality TV. Reality TV star. Yay.
You hear that reality TV star is going to play football?
Yeah, you'd love it. Everyone would love it.
All the people
there.
That have no idea.
Kardashians would be up in the front row.
Oh, gosh.
I wonder, will he ever play football again? Is that out of the picture, do
you
think?
He shouldn't.
Yeah, will he be in the broadcast booth, do we think?
I don't know. Remember he was supposed to, and then he went back to the Dolphins, and then the broadcast thing kind of flaked out. Look, if he wants to, that's opportunities there.
Yeah.
Somebody
I don't think he wants to work. At all.
Done some.
He likes to pick up sticks, is what we learned, and he likes to have his farm.
He's basically a dog.
He is. All right, we have high hopes for them. We hope everything works out well for them. Let's check in here at...
Number 3.
Pixar has made a ton of iconic films over the years, and The Incredibles is among the very best. It made hundreds of millions of dollars in the box office. It scooped up a pretty fair share of awards and critical acclaim, and it inspired... Guess what? Kanye West to finally give his first Keeping Up with the Kardashians interview.
This is my first time doing this. I'm not actually attempting to do good. I just, like, part of the reason why I even thought about or considered doing this recording, like, what do you call it, this interview? This interview is because of the movie The Incredibles. It starts off with the interviews. The superheroes are giving interviews. The wife got a big butt, and I just see our life becoming more and more and more like The Incredibles until we can finally fly.
He really is crazy.
That's what's going on in Kanye's brain, in case we were wondering. Kim and Kanye sat down with Rhymefest. We know him. He's a Chicagoan. We've talked with him many times. And he was at Kardashian's Los Angeles area office to try to heal. Remember, she kind of got on Twitter. She went after him. She said, "You're just eating off Kanye, and you're just like, that's who you are." And she was all in his face about he was not doing right by her husband. So she wanted to. They wanted to have a healing moment after their Twitter feud. And Rhymefest decided that he was game for that. And the lack of involvement in Donda's house was the issue. Remember?
He tweeted out. Rhymefest started it. He tweeted out that Kanye does nothing for the charity on the South Side that he helped start. And this was back in whenever this happened, a year ago or whatever. And then it was Kim Kardashian who responded saying, "How dare you? You know," because Kanye wasn't going to do that. So she did, and she made a huge story because when she tweets, everybody listens.
The world stops.
Not as much Rhymefest. Rhymefest put that out, and everyone's like, all right, whatever. But when she did it, then it became, you know, every single story on it. So this was, now you find out that it's really just a setup for the show. As everything is.
Right, that's true. And you know, it's interesting. Let's hear the clip, and I want to tell you a story, because we had Rhymefest in studio last week, and he addressed this very thing to us personally. But the youth mentorship, Donda's house here in Chicago, was at the center of that Twitter war.
So, from my perspective, I grew up with all the same friends being my same best friends from when I was in preschool. Not one of my friends has ever spoken out about me. He can't really say no to people if they ask him financial questions, if they ask him for any kind of help. And sometimes I think it's like to a fault where he'll hurt himself and then he won't have something financially and he's struggling.
I want to make it clear. No, it wasn't about money. It's deeper than that because we're friends.
Okay.
They are friends. They go way back. You know, Che Rhymefest wrote Jesus Walks.
Right. They won Grammys together. So it's interesting. But when we had Rhymefest in studio, what was it, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago now, he talked about this. And he said, well, you know, we're going to solve this problem because I met with Kanye for lunch and we were meeting on the side and that it started to be too secretive. And then Kanye said to me, well, you gotta make it right with my wife. And so he told us, well, I called her. And immediately the response was, no, don't do this here. We're going to do it on the show. So right away, transfer the apology or whatever it was to the show. And that's where it happened. By the way, we do have that Rhymefest and Emilio Estevez interview. We all sat down, me, Richard Roper, and Rokan. And we're going to be airing that tomorrow
on WGN. Yeah, that's the new movie that's coming out.
But we have a bonus cut. So let's just hear a little more of this little spat with the Rhymefest and Kardashians.
Kanye wanted me to help work on the album. And I said, yeah, I'll help work. And he said, well, what do you want? And it wasn't about money. It was like, yo, I want you to tweet out what we're doing about Donda's house. And I kept telling you, Kanye, I need you to do this. Come on, we got to do that, do this. Kanye is from a village. And the village was feeling like our dear brother. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Turned his back on the village.
Mm. Strong words. He felt like he turned his back, but Kim was not having that at all.
And I give Kim Kardashian credit. I like that she went after Rhymefest because he was throwing shade on social media to her husband.
All right, here's
more. And I'm friends with Chad. I'm friends with Chad.
Let's see if this will turn you here, Justin.
And so I struck out because me and you.
You can't make
positive.
You can't make positive by doing negative. You could have said, "Hey, can I call you? I want to just talk to you directly before I say something." You know.
I just think if Kanye said, like, I can't deal with Donda's house right now, to me that means in all capacities.
Yeah, but that was after he said he would.
Okay.
But even if I said I would,
you know what I mean?
That's what I didn't know.
I was going through some.
Yeah, but it was all negative.
Yeah, the I was going, that's why it's called going through some. Because it's negative. What you talking about?
It's all better now, though, because if you do it on a reality show, then it repairs the relationship. If you just handled it on the side, on the phone, it wouldn't have had the same effect. I get that sense somehow, don't you? All right, we'll have your two and your one, but first we're going to break for the news with WGN News at the bottom of the hour with Kim Gordon. It's the Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. We've got Justin Kaufman sitting in as Ro is taking a day off. Kevin Powell, K-Pow, is in the studio, along with Lauren Lapka. And we are sort of in the middle here of the top five at five. We got through your five, your four, your three. So, Ron.
Number two.
Thanks, Orion. Weeks after the Securities and Exchange Commission asked for him to be held in contempt for violating his company's settlement with the SEC, Elon Musk has released a surprise rap single about the 17-year-old 440-pound gorilla known as Harambe. The Tesla CEO took to Twitter over the weekend, unveiling a SoundCloud link to the new song titled Rest in Peace, Harambe.
R.I.P. Harambe, sipping on some bomb, baby.
Oh dear, that's really his voice. So Zoo and You rhyme. Did you notice that? He's got some really good rhymes in there. Well, this is the thing. A lot of people are saying, like, he should sit out April Fool's because last year on this day, he said an important announcement's coming up, and he said the company's going bankrupt, and it's going to be chapter 14 and a half. And
is this,
like,
is this
dude,
an April Fool's joke? Did he do it as an April Fool's joke? He didn't?
But he's there. I'm reading a no from our producers. No,
what?
This was not even an April Fool's
joke. Seems like an April Fool's joke.
It totally
does.
He's
just a weird guy.
Isn't he? He's like brilliant, weird, but sometimes this stuff comes out and is like, I don't think you need to do this. This is not what you need to be doing. Just build our little tunnel to O'Hare. That's what we need. Get to O'Hare faster.
Yeah.
Checking in at
number one.
Did you see this? Comedian Chris Rock. Well, he ripped into Jussie Smollett at the NAACP Image Awards with a series of jokes over the weekend. Where the actor was nominated for his role on the Fox series Empire.
I guess I gotta present an award that said no Jussie Smollett jokes. Yeah, I know. What a waste of light skin, you know? You know what I could do with that light skin? That curly hair, my career would be out of here. Running Hollywood. That's no, just... What the hell was he thinking? From now on, I ain't never gonna know just you're Jesse from now on. You don't even get the you no more. That you was respect. You ain't getting no respect from me.
Supposedly it's true. They weren't supposed to joke about the Jussie Smollett. We're supposed to bring him up. He didn't show. He's a no-show at the...
Of course he's not, right?
No, but it was funny because TMZ reported that he touched down in L.A. He didn't talk to speak to cameras or reporters or anything. But they said, well, he's there for the Image Awards. Yeah. So it was everyone expected that he would be there. And they were going to protect him. The Image Awards. You can't make this up. You can't make this up.
Well, I'm glad. Chris Rock is just a... He's just a national treasure in the way that people tell him broadcasters don't talk about Jussie Smollett, but he comes through with those jokes and knocks it out of the park. And it should be more scathing for Jussie Smollett. That should be, he's not going to go to jail. At least he gets a 45-minute Chris Rock routine.
Mm-hmm. Get critiqued by some of the best.
By some of the best.
Perfect from Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Expect nothing less from him.
No, that's true. He rises to the occasion every time. We have a bonus cut here, maybe from SNL.
Jussie Smollett was a victim.
Oh, please.
Mr. Daniels, I have represented Jussie his entire career. I am sure there is a very reasonable explanation for why he's so late right now.
Well, I just hope it's not some crazy excuse.
I'm so sorry I'm late.
Jussie?
Oh my God, are you okay?
Guys, you are not gonna believe what just happened to me.
Not again.
Really?
I know what you're thinking, but it's not that. Okay, so what is it?
I got attacked again.
That's exactly what we were thinking.
Oh, okay, good. So you believe me?
No.
What is wrong with you, man?
I just told you I was attacked.
He meant mentally, Jesse.
Mr. Daniels, can I have a word with my client for a second?
Yeah, I think you should.
Jesse.
Don't worry. I got some hits in, too. I'm still the gay Tupac.
Nobody knows what that means.
That's funny.
It is. It was funny. I mean, you wonder, wasn't he written out of the last two episodes of Empire? And now that this has happened, it just, what you wonder.
Well, what happens to him now in Hollywood?
That's true. What happens? Do you take him? Yeah. I mean, does
I mean, he's a joke at this point. Mm-hmm. Who's going to take him seriously?
But you do see some in Hollywood, and you saw his Empire cast members for sure, but even people at the NAACP Awards saying, you know, I support Jesse, I'm with him. We'll never know what happened. There's people are kind of rallying around the fact that this is sealed, and we won't know. But I think here in Chicago, we're close enough to it to know, I believe, that there are enough questions there that we need to kind of know. We need to know to have the faith in the office of the state's attorney that this was handled appropriately.
There's a difference, and it's funny because in that SNL sketch, they didn't really get into the Kim Fox attorney dropping the charges. That was just overall, like, they had come off a break and they didn't get a chance to talk about Jussie Smollett or do a sketch about him. So I wondered nationally how much the outrage, like, there isn't as much outrage about the dropping of the charges and maybe the state's attorney getting, paying favors or something like that. And this is just more about Jussie Smollett and him lying about being attacked.
But that's just it, to Kevin's point. It's like, how is his word trusted now? I mean, how does he just sort of show up and does this just get swept away in, like, Hollywood style where he shows up and suddenly everything's okay now? Do we just... You know, did he just goes back on like junkets and he shows up in interviews? He'll always be asked about this. At the very least, it'll always be an asterisk next to his name. But you think it might be more than that. You wonder the effect it will have on his career.
If he lied about what happened and he did exactly what the Chicago police and the grand jury said he did, he doesn't have a place in my television set
I don't think most people would hire him.
Yeah, I think there's still a question, and I think that the reason that the people is that he denies that he lied.
Right, he keeps lying on top of lies on top of lies.
Unless he's not. That's my. Right. But I'm not trying to say that. I believe what he's doing, but
obviously
there's a question of whether or not when you say an asterisk next to his name, and I don't know. At a certain point, the question will be: I want to see all the evidence. I want them to unseal everything so I know exactly what the truth was before. And I think a lot of the people that support Jussie Smollett are probably saying the same thing. Like, I want
to
know.
But do you
exactly
need to see all of it in order to have some suspicions about what your friend did here?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think that there is enough there to say, at the very least, he certainly used up police resources and cost the city a number of dollars. If you believe every single authority, including the state's attorney's office, they say this was a fake hoax. That's what everyone's saying of any authority. And so you wonder, is this lawsuit with the city going to go anywhere? This trying to recoup the $130,000 that was spent on police overtime and resources? Is this a state legislature who's proposing this bill to say, we don't want your, anything, any cast that he's part of, we don't want your production to get tax credits here in the state
of
Illinois? You think
that's ridiculous. You can't have a law on the books that says if you employ a specific person, we will not give you the tax credits promised. You just can't, because if you want to get there, then you start going into all sorts of different things in different ways. Well, why not other people? Why not Harvey Weinstein?
Right.
Why not?
I think Harvey Weinstein isn't really going to be working much.
But I think it just comes to a civil liberties issue of, like, you can't legally say, we're going to take away money from your project if you hire this person. That's outrage. That to me is misplaced.
But you think that, so? I get the sense from you, Justin, that you're satisfied with the way
I'm not satisfied.
That there was no apology. There's no sort of mea culpa. That this was sort of sealed, expunged, community service, time served, special
outrage.
Treatment. Okay, because he's a celebrity, it just all goes away, and we're supposed to accept it.
No. I understand all of the things about Jussie Smollett in the case, and you can hear me talk about how upset I was about the way that Chicago got dragged through the mud on this, and if he is lying, and this is exactly how it played out, good riddance. He should be in the system. I'm not happy that they dropped the charges off of what looks like to the naked eye some sort of special.
Not just naked eye, a grand jury returned 16 felony indictments.
I'm saying the naked eye, it looks like somebody did special treatment to this dude to call in a favor from the state's attorney's office to make that go away. All that stuff makes me mad. I'm just not sure the aftermath of everything that's happening, and whether it's a knee-jerk lawmaker saying we're not going to give credits to this one individual, whether it's the FOP protesting that the state's attorney has to resign. All these political theatrics that are happening after the fact, yeah, I don't care about that. I feel like that's trying to manipulate my outrage.
Do you think there should be a review of her office, though, the way it was handled at the state's attorney's office, the sort of fake recusal? I just meant that colloquially, I can't say that word. But you know what I mean? Like, I didn't mean recuse. Yeah. I meant recuse in sort of the some sense, the quasi-sense of the word.
I don't know. I feel like we're all being duped in this way, that we're given all of these facts that are supposedly facts that we knew, but we don't know. I don't know how the recusal situation works when it comes to a state's attorney's race. Nobody in this room does. I don't know what a level 4 felony
Recusals are pretty clear cut. I think recusals, if she truly thought there was a conflict, according to the Illinois Prosecutors Bar and the Bar Association, according to the National Attorneys General's Association,
they have all
weighed in. Oh, after the fact, and said when you recuse yourself because there's a conflict, you recuse, your office no longer handles it.
But
you pass it along.
It feels like in some ways you're downplaying it, Justin, because like the argument you made earlier was that it sort of feels like, well, this is prototypical Illinois or prototypical Cook County. Where's the outrage when other things happen? But just to me, it doesn't have to be either or. Like if you're kind of, it kind of feels like you're saying, well, this is just fake outrage from people because
I would never say to you, Kevin, that your outrage is fake. Like I'm all for people having
You're saying the theatrics may be a little bit amped up a little bit.
The formalized theatrics after the fact to almost take advantage of that outrage.
Well, of course they are. That's politics.
But that's the stuff that I'm just
and not, people. But the outrage is real. I mean, like, people are absolutely pissed about this. Right. So like they're echoing what I think a lot of people think and feel. I'm like surprised. You're the most subdued person I know about this whole situation. Like,
I know
you're the first person I've come across over the past week that's like, this is no big deal.
No, it's not a big deal. I just don't like the way that this story has fanned the flames of what I think, and I do agree to some extent with some of the people we heard on the air this hour talking about the fact that this is political, and I don't want my outrage to be politicized because I don't necessarily, if I am outraged about a guy in Chicago, a celebrity, who comes down here and makes Chicago look bad by faking a hate crime, for what reason? I'm not even sure.
I mean, it's pretty obvious what reason.
What is the reason?
To advance his career and become
how is that even possible?
Because then he comes across as sort of like this voice for the black community or the gay community. He's this leader, and he fought against MAGA and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
That's very clearly what it appears here.
But
why else would he do it?
I don't know why else.
Really?
Isn't
it pretty obvious he did it to advance his career and give himself a platform and raises awareness?
I think the why isn't necessarily as important as the what happened. And I think that, you know, obviously look at any data of other people who have had fake crimes that they have called them in and they've put police through not even nearly this amount of manpower and costs and expenses and resources, that there's a different penalty for folks like you, me, or anyone listening right now than for Jussie Smollett. And so the why part of that is important if you want faith in the state's attorney's office, and we need to have faith in that. And when she comes out onto her publicity tour and starts giving answers that don't necessarily coincide with one another, that they conflict with one another, you start saying, well, why in her op-ed piece today did she say we didn't have enough evidence, we felt that we really weren't sure we could get a conviction, when you hear from the police department that they had mountains of evidence, of which maybe 15% of which we actually know right now. They have 85% out there that we don't even know,
that
some say it was an open and shut case, and then you go to a grand jury, get these 16 indictments, and then you sort of drop it, and it just doesn't feel or smell right.
That's my whole thing. I don't even really care about Jussie at this point. What I care about is what happened here. And I want to know because I live here. Mm-hmm. I have a right to know. If I can't trust the system, that's a problem.
Right.
And she's in elected office,
right.
And she answers to you and me and everyone here, not to Jussie or powerful people necessarily. This isn't what it's about. That office is not about that. And I know there have been plenty of issues between the police department and her, and I agree that there might be some politicization of this whole thing. But at the end of the day, we can't forget that at the core of this is really, there needs to be some sort of review so that the citizenry feels
comfortable that this was not something that was given special treatment, or at least understand the reasons behind why we arrived at this point.
And you were talking about the FOP. Like, I understand that the politicizing of this is rubbing you the wrong way in some ways, or at least not
both
completely
sides. I don't
want to
make
you.
It just FOP.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not. I get your point
and
there.
Father Flager as well.
There should be so much outrage from the entire police department. You put that much time in and then everything just gets thrown out the window. How would they not be deflated from that? How would they not be outraged?
That's how police feel.
Of course
they really do feel that way.
And why would they not feel that way? After all those man hours and time and everything they put into it, and then like that, it's thrown out the window, literally.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I don't know about that, because I feel like from the get-go on this story, and I know I'm in the minority in the room, but there has been nobody has been on the up and up on this story. And it has made me, as a consumer of the news, as a citizen of Chicago, as someone who works in journalism, my bells go off all the way across the board. Whether it's the Jussie Smollett and how it all was handled, the media coverage has to be on display as well, with the Chicago police and the way that there were so many leaks coming out of that office at the time.
I didn't find that.
Prosecution as well for dropping those charges. Nobody is on the up and up.
I found that a lot of the leaks were coming from the lawyers in the case.
No.
Because I know I went to several police officers who I typically like to get information from, and they would not release information
case. But these
and
were
so I'm just pointing
several
that out.
Law enforcement official sources.
That's
from
right.
The media.
I did see that.
They were not lawyers. They were went out of their way to say law enforcement officials say, and it was all off the record or leaks. And they're even asking why that happened. And again, I'm not doing this. I don't want to be Trumpian about it, where it's like, how dare they leak? Who leaked? I don't care about that. But the point being, nothing was buttoned up on the up and up to this whole entire story.
But do you think some of that had to do with the fact that he had lawyers and he had sort of a posture from the beginning of this racist city and these are these officers in this police department that's under so much scrutiny that I can take advantage of that given this situation, and sort of that's maybe what angers Chicagoans pretty much as well. Like, that's what sort of fans the flames of this whole thing. That didn't need to be fanned. It didn't need to be fanned.
That's the last thing we need right now in America is what happened here.
Totally true.
Right, and it is off.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, there's something else awful. There's a millennial crisis going on. You guys, you're going to want to hear about this, something affecting millennials, and we're going to talk about that with the few minutes we have before we get to Kim's news, and then something less controversial. We'll be talking more about the election here in Chicago tomorrow. But let's check in with Kim Gordon right now, see what's coming up top of the hour in the news.
Anna, the FAA says the fix for the MAX 8 jets has been delayed.